And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah. Election voting day. Aren't you all excited? It's so important that Frank will be here whenever. You know, he'll be here. He's on his way. He goes, let me tell you why, Ernie. It's all the traffic backups from everybody in the cars and lines to get into the voting stations at the churches and the schools and so on. Yeah, it's because it's, you know, it's a popularity of Trump voting. Oh, there he is. You missed it by, you know, a minute and a half. You just can't do it.
I was like, why is there so much traffic today? And I realized there was two or three voting stations on the way holding up traffic at the intersection. It was pretty amazing.
He's always got an excuse.
I thought I saw your car there with the bumper stickers. I thought I saw bumper, you there. Voting.
Yeah. Donna's not. I'm not allowed to do bumper stickers anymore. You know, it's kind of, nope. Yeah, putting it on my new car. You know, I'm going, newer car. Now I'm laptop stickers now. Mm-hmm. Laptop stickers. You know, put a laptop. I'm kind of amped up. I've been getting a lot of calls from a lot of people. You know, on a regular basis over the years, there's always been friends from, you know church leaders, you know, Bible study guys, friends, relatives. They always, you know, little email attacks. Can you talk? Call, how do I vote? What the hell is 126, 110? Do I vote yes
calling,
or no?
They're calling
I can't
you.
Tell.
You they know, ask how to vote.
Right. You know, which I
they
help
get
them.
The memo.
You know, I help, and I'm like, you know, let me, this is what this does and that, but I'm like, you know, whatever. I it pisses me off. Because, you know, they think it matters. They're thinking that, you know, that they're,
well, this time
this
it
is
does
an impact.
Matter. This time God. It does matter. That is why you're getting these calls, Ernie.
You know, I always do, and I'm always nice, and they know my position, but they just know that I won't lie to them, you know, what they say it's going to do, kind of crap. Right. You know, it's like the two ones that are really getting a lot of attention. Prop 127 here in Arizona is a gazillionaire that owns a solar panel making company or whatever. California, you know, said, well, it only cost me so many hundreds of thousands. Yeah, sure, what the hell, I'll put it on the ballot in Arizona, mandating that all electrical power by 2030 or something, 50% of it has to come from renewables. Well, I'm like, well, it'll probably, if it happens, it'll happen on its own anyway. You know, I mean, just, you know, get out. But when you mandate it, yeah, you know, crap happens. One, your price goes way up, and then they'll, you know, it'll be government solar and subsidized and good. You're just messing with the system. Leave it alone. It'll be fine. You got what I want. And Saturday we had a guy representing, he was the vice mayor of Scottsdale at the Breakfast Club, and he was advocating for, he's running for a corporation commission next election cycle is what's going on, okay? So, yeah, that kind of, you know, tells you everything right there. So he's going, oh, we can't have him doing kind of, you know, it's great and wonderful and APS and we love and low rates of what. I go, you know what? I just want the freedom to be able to make my own power and sell it to my neighbor. I got a big field out here. I could power probably 3-4, you know, homes here, you know? And miners. But I go like this, I'll, you know, the surplus, whichever I make more money on miners or selling it to my neighbor, and they, you know, get a 20% discount on their I'm good. Got cable right here. Let's do it. Well, I'm not on the grid. Get off the grid. We're outside of the grid. Not gridding, not going to power the guy. I want the freedom to do it. Can I do it? Well, you go, yeah, that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. You know, Freedom's the answer. What's a freaking question? And these guys don't even think that way.
Right. Yeah.
So then on 126, it was, I think it was done by the real estate realtors in the state. And their big thing was they want to have taxes on services. Well, one of the big ones is when you sell a house, you get a commission that you're paying in. Oh, Keith's here with his ballot. You going to let him fill it out for you?
He's going to fill it out for
you. No! Tarzan's got... Hell,
hey, buddy.
I'll let you do that. Where's mine? I go, Frank, vote for me, man. It's all good. I know, whatever.
I got salads, election Tuesday, but more
importantly. Wait, get on the mic. What?
It is election Tuesday, but more importantly, yesterday was?
5th of November.
Yeah, that's right.
I hope that we all celebrated that, but I've got Genoa salami. I've got salad. I've got the olives.
Are you coming tonight to the party?
I've got some tasty bud.
You coming tonight?
Yeah, but I gotta go dancing first.
Yeah, we'll be. Well, we won't know until later anyway.
I think we're all gonna be dancing afterwards. So yeah, just come on back.
Fill it up, Frank.
Now you gotta letting Frank fill out. That's awesome. That's awesome. Do I have it early? I got something. You know, whatever. I'll give you my ID. Anyway, so yeah, how much you gonna give me for it? I'm gonna say, hey man, it's like Roman times. I'm selling my boat. Tell somebody you want to buy. You know, they'll spend. God, man, it's ridiculous amount, you know, for all these votes, and you put them across. I go, hell, why don't you just pay me? I get $37.80, and crap, I'll go buy a kid a thing. You can. I don't care. I'm just so mad at all this crap. On 126, what it was is that it's tax on services. When we did Motivity Services, which is we had auto detailing and laundry service, and we were expanding in the pool cleaning and lawn service. It was a service industry that we were doing. And then I got burned and kind of went back in the restaurant and opened a restaurant. And we still have the business. Donna still, you know, does some clients. But it's it was something I started in the 80s. I wanted to have my own business. I wanted to get outside. And then when I started filling out my own, you know, taxes and kind of, I pay both sides of Social Security. I pay mine and the employer. And I go, who the hell am I working for? I'm the sun freaking desert 120 of what the hell? Oh, man, I was pissed. So I got an educate. I didn't need no college. I went out in the real world and, man, it slapped me upside the head. You know, and even hell, in college, I didn't teach you any of this crap. You know, I learned most of my stuff from, you know, the restaurant industry. But this is the one thing. Services are not taxed. If you got a plumber or someone in Arizona, at least, there is no charge for service. Now, for the, you know, parts and, you know, and the equipment and supplies and whatever I can write off and everything. But, you know, but I still get charged on the income and the Social Security and the, you know, the FICA's FICA's mom and she likes to shop or something. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of expenses you have. Well, the thing is that services, now they want to put it in just like a sales tax. You got sales tax. You're also paying income tax. You got, now they want to tax services. So the realtors got together and they put in the initiative and said, look, forever and always, amen, we know you guys are tax money grubbing sons of bitches. You can't tax services. Well, to do that, you got to vote yes for them not to tax you. You know, it's just like, you know, they keep doing this kind of crap. So it's kind of confusing, but I'm just the fact that they even going to tax you on the income and the service for doing. I just that would affect you too, wouldn't it? Huh. You're not going to pay it. You don't care.
It's not on my radar right now. No.
All right, what's on your radar? Damn it.
Did you go over all the propositions? You're pretty excited for someone who doesn't...
Because all these people are asking me, and I'm like, you know, you made me look. Yeah. And then I read it, and I'm going, God, bastardized the verbiage just to make somebody...
Do. You know, it's a full-time job to read those proposition booklets. I mean, I read every word in there and the pros and cons, and it's interesting how... if you take the time to read them, the truth comes through about what these cases are. But there's so much smoke in the way. What I'm actually looking forward to is probably in 2 years when they revisit the legalization of marijuana proposition. That should be an interesting one they're going to bring back. But they're waiting on that, well, which I know is not quite the heavy issues that we're dealing with here. And then with the environment. I told the guy that came to my door exactly what you said as well.
All right, when we come back, all the midterms.
By Captain Mark. The crown casts the world in shadow and claims to be our guiding light. Cowards clamor for security from boogeymen and ghost stories, while I say these hobgoblins are imaginary. I say those they propped up as our liberators are now subsisting on our bondage. I say there is freedom in the black, and that's exactly where we intend to go. The crown banishes its own officers for exposing its crimes and tortures dissidents to the brink of madness. It dominates the globe and swallows the wealth of generations, leaving only blood and excrement. The crown calls it piracy to explore frontiers beyond its grasp. So the time has come for us to define the conduct among pirates. I say the crown has trampled our necks long enough. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com. We won't be hard to find.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
This is Ernie on election morning.
It's them. Eyes wide shut. Pagan music. Now, you want to know what that is? It's they, them, those, man. They're freaking, you know, their robes and their mask and their kind of, you know, or you get the Monty Python one. Bonk. And they hit themselves in the head on their way to the polls, pretending like it mattered. You know,
they're having a conniption today.
I understand the need to do something to have a voice to say. It's like it's from the Matrix. It's you know, the architect explaining it to Neo, and he goes, "Oh, it's choice. If you don't give him the illusion of choice, it doesn't work." And you are definitely getting the illusion. All right, that's my view.
Before you jump in with everything, Donald Trump is not an illusion. All right, and that's the point with Donald Trump is that you have. I think with your concern or what your frustration is that.
You still got wars?
No. The thing is, you could always claim, well, if Obama won, it's because the trilateralists allowed it, or the Bilderbergers got together and said, all right, we've bequeathed that Obama is the guy. He kissed the ring a little lower than Jeb or whomever, and that's why they're there. And we can always go back and forth about that they, them, those, as you would say, allow someone to get in. And the problem or the frustration maybe is maybe not for a lot of Americans is watching what happened, is that with Donald Trump getting in, it showed to some degree the system still works. And the system that I know has plenty problems, fatally flawed, we can go all day, but the fact that he's sitting there still shows, hopefully at the end of the day, you would think it's a good thing. Maybe not for your overall narrative that voting has no power whatsoever, but it is a good thing overall that the system
can still work. It has enormous power.
And
it
can
put you in line with the support of the system.
But the thing is, no one can make an argument that the system chose Donald Trump. That's what everyone would say. They say, well, they picked George Bush because he's part of the military-industrial complex. They chose Obama because the globalist, blah, blah, blah. With Donald Trump, that argument has been blown out of the water because everyone from every side had a target on him, and he's still there.
Okay,
so
let me tell you what's going to come out and prove Ernie, is that, yes, the system has shown that the people can get Donald Trump in. Donald Trump's in. Donald Trump, you can see, ha, Ernie, Donald Trump is president. I go, wow, okay, yeah, the people demonstrated that they, whatever policies, whatever he ran on, whatever he promised, that's what they want, and I'm going, okay, when do I get it? How's that working out?
And also, the Diebold machines are not as corrupt, and as much as I don't trust them at all, the system, though, is still able to reflect what the American people want, as suppressed as it might be.
But they don't get it. The debt has gone up enormously, and he's not getting criticism for it. You know, there is a more war, not getting criticism, more threat of nuclear war, third world war, blah, 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 blah. No criticism for it. We got, you know, it just goes on and on and on. There's all these promises, and we get, you know, a little movement on this, a little movement on that. But our financial situation is going to be dire, and healthcare, dire, and there's not an advocacy of freedom down to the individual. And any advocacy for what he's saying or doing, I can understand. I'm more proud of the American people and them expressing themselves over the past, you know, 20 years, 10 years, certainly, you know, from the Lovevolution and the blowback around the world against, you know, collectivism in a lot of ways. But, man, they're digging in and doing it. But that's not where the change is going to be. The change is going to be in wallet voting and individuals selecting, you know, which phone they get. It's going to be what kind of internet service that they want. What kind of, you know, doodad are they going to get? What doctor are they going to pay cash to?
That's fine. Yeah, but it all comes down to, like, we and I are in agreement. It's over choice. It's the
choice.
Freedom and the choice.
Choice.
But the thing is that whole concept of choice is being eroded, the culture at its core. See, this is the thing.
I choose to give Frank my ballot.
This is, how much Bitcoin you want for this one? But we'll talk off the air.
Yeah, Keith. So, I don't know. No, you can't. You start talking about that, man. They get all, you know, they don't like that.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of money, right? Anyway, but
pull
seriously,
the mic over to you.
So,
Keith.
So here's the deal: is that, you know. I have myself, my main issue has been the economy, right? The economy's stupid, the Federal That's Reserve, the debt clock. I mean, most people listening to this in this audience were Ron Paul people. That's what drives us in. And yes, would I like Donald Trump to go in and on day one snap his fingers and the Federal Reserve goes and every libertarian philosophy and point that I want, Donald Trump does it my way and boom, boom, boom. And then, of course, there's neocons that have their view that we need to get over and kick ass over there and, you know, Team America, whatever's that song from the Puppet Show. So all of this, everyone's got their own view. Others will say it's still about abortion. All these babies dying. I mean, everyone can pick their issue. And as we get more diverse, I hate to use that term, and the system keeps saying, oh, we have to be in diversity, diversity. Well, diversity is a strength, but when it's over-diverse without enough time to assimilate, then everything, people start to break down.
No, it's like the debt is the number one thing until Trump does it.
No. Ernie, what is happening is, notice for the first time, I mean, granted, we've been doing Trump reports, all about been about Trump, but if you talk to me for the last 20 years, if you knew me, 30 years, it's always been about the debt and the economy. That's what brought me to the libertarian fold and Ron Paul. And, of course, I voted for Ron Paul the first time, as you guys know, and was 88 I voted for him. So I've been doing this a long time. All of a sudden, I'm on the Trump train, and some of you guys, including certain Ernie Hancock, might say, wait a minute, how did this Svengali get in his head? Now he's not all of a sudden worried about the economy. All of a sudden, he's just laughing about Donald Trump. He must be celebrity stars in his eyes. And, of course, Ernie privately knows better with me, but that's sort of like the overall view. Like, how is he losing it? Is it just the cult of celebrity that somehow Americans getting sucked into? No. What America finally recognized, and we're at the brink in 2016, was that the whole fabric and the matrix, so to speak, or the fabric of communication of the culture was completely at its last legs and breaking down. And so the analogy I'm just going to give you, because they just had The Walking Dead the other day, the thing with Rick Grimes, the last episode. If you guys watch Walking Dead, it's about the Democratic Party now, The Walking Dead. But that aside, I'm bringing it up because it talks about, you know, this virus that takes over the world and kills everyone, turns them into zombies and whatever. So imagine for a moment that, and there was a science fiction movie to this point. Imagine a virus goes around and infects your brain, and then when it affects your brain, it destroys the ability for you to communicate. Like, you can't communicate. You don't understand language. Sort of like my 1.5-year-old right now. You know, she babbles. She's trying to talk, but she can't really talk. If that happened to everyone right now, if in America or the world, civilization would stop. I mean, you can't even do generators in an electric company if you can't communicate. And so, therefore, what I'm getting to is all these issues, I hate to call them pet issues, but whether it's abortion, the debt, or the wars, I understand all that. But if we can't communicate, then none of that matters, and we're at that point.
On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people...
All right. We ain't done. Okay? Mm-hmm.
I like to still talk about that point when we come back, because, I mean, the commercial was. But that's the key. That's really it. Are we still on?
Well, I'm doing recording.
Ah, I thought we're off the air, yeah.
Anyway, well, we are. I want to not take up any of your lifetime.
Oh,
you
thank
freak out.
You. Thank you. But
this is my point. Elections are been very important to me for 30 years. Mm-hmm. I've run for a lot of elections. I do it because, and a lot of people don't understand why. I may run, but not vote. You're not even going to vote for yourself. I'm not legitimate. The reason is because for about 3 months out of the every 2 years, you get a little extra of attention to people because they are, all right, you know, what are the issues? What are my options? What are we talking about? What's top of mind? What's everybody else, you know, giving an opinion about whatever the heck it's on the table? The biggest impact that we had on all our activism was not what our position was. It was what issue we drove to the front to even be discussed. So the Arizona Republic and the local newspapers and television, radio, and everything, they're doing a howdy neighbor on, we got to take care of the mentally disabled and what program can we expand in, how much money we can get from you, and the excuse of somebody else, more bureaucracy as somebody makes something. Then it was environment stuff, you know. While at the same time, they're champions of environmentalism or city councilmen subsidizing sidewalks and, you know, sewers for big developments, taking over a whole bunch of kind of, they subsidize everything they're screaming about that they don't want. It was all a lie. I'm tired uncovering the secrets, exposing the lies. I'm sick of the lies. It's just lies. So I'm going, all right, what's the truth? What is it? People are pissed. They don't like the way it is. So, you know, Ron Paul, Donald Trump, I mean, all of this is a manifestation of dissatisfaction. But then they go, here's the option. I'm against that. Pick me. And then they do more of the same. They increase it. They get a mandate. They triple up on it. They do it. So I'm like, this whole sanctioning of this process is making it worse. I need a freaking hell no. And that always comes after a financial collapse. When all the money be gone and they're just like, what the hell just happened? Services go away. Infrastructure goes to crap. Their children don't get the health care that they need. And when they do get it, it's in the form of some shot that made them sick. You know, this is stuff that's going to happen. So my concern is that you're supporting and feeding the beast that's devouring us. I can't give them that kind of deference. I go, somebody's got to be going. I call BS on the whole thing. That it said you can do better with your time, but while people are paying attention, that's the time to express yourself with a bumper sticker or put a sign up or talk to your friends or do and give a good argument about whatever the heck. You know, I don't have a problem, you know, you being all political. It's just, and I don't even have a problem if you vote. Vote, don't vote. That's not even the point. But the expectation that even if you get everything that you want, I never get what I want. You know, I don't get libertarian, freedom-oriented kind of people up there doing policies of, but the Republicans or Democrats, depending on what year it is, they get elected based on it. They get elected based on these arguments, on the promise of freedom. They get elected, you know, but do I get it? Rarely, if ever. It keeps ratcheting. So it's going to have to fall, and somebody have the foundational arguments at the water cooler where you can make the argument for freedom. Here we go.
Promote.lrn.fm.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the... the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee, but I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will, but today I am still just a bill.
Yeah, what kind of crap is this? You know, I think it, you know, it's interesting and fun, and kids kind of, you know, I explain to my grandkids, you kind of talk about, you know, but what's the reality? You know, you got to get like Rodney Dangerfield and Back to School, come on, explain it to you. Oh, well, let me tell you how that works. You know, where the bills come from, where they originate, you know, how they get lobbied, who advocates for them, you know, where the money comes from to spend it. You really want to know real politique, man? I'm telling you. It is nasty, nasty, lying, deceitful crap. And I'm just, I don't know what to do other than what I'm doing. I don't have a problem. I love doing the Trump report. You know, I like going through all this and documenting all this stuff waiting for the reveal.
Look, I'll tell you what I think, and to be completely honest with you, Ernie, what I think the diehard libertarians are missing a huge opportunity with this is that it's like, the libertarian activists are spending so much time just almost constantly being what's the term? Not resentful, but antagonistic. Just stubborn over the fact of, well, okay, maybe Trump got in, but well, he hasn't done this and this. It's like you're just looking for problems. Whereas I think the Libertarian Party, and why people like Alex Jones and others are so excited about it, is what Trump is doing is exposing what so many of us as libertarians have been arguing about for so long, which is the deep state and the corruption of the media and how people on both sides and how people's brains are being manipulated, how the polls are telling you from day one how things are leaning. Right after this election, the Democrats or whoever, the polls on both sides are going to say this is what the 2020 looks like. Why? There's no rhyme or reason, and the polls never make sense until 1 week before the election, when all the pollsters decide to try to get on the back on the good side of history and try to save face. Is that, you know, the last week all of a sudden you heard a lot of the polls go, yeah, well, you know, maybe the blue wave isn't quite there, maybe the Republicans can win now, all of a sudden, right before, so they can claim that they were right 3 days before. But the thing is, all this time they tweak these polls, they lie, they do it to form public opinion, to get the silent majority to remain silent, because as you say, Ernie, if you believe that your neighbor thinks the way the media does, you're going to be quiet. So everyone on your street probably thinks like you. Maybe they're all Trump people, but no one will admit it, right? Because the media polls tell you in the very beginning to be quiet. It's also for fundraising, you know, so that they can get more money from people who claim that they're in the lead. So all of this, and you and I, and most of this audience, knows this, but the average American has been sleeping this entire time, have no idea why there's four people on their ballot for president, and yet only two, the same two parties, keep showing up in the televised debates. Like, why does that happen? And more importantly, why is the average American not questioning why there's only two on the debate and four on their ballot? The fact that they're not even questioning it is showing the walking dead
they
mentality.
Are questioning, but it's suppressed this
no they
question
w- well yeah well yeah but no it's not necessarily, because for years that was my little silver bullet argument when I would debate people since I was in college, which is, how is it there's four in your ballot and only two in the debate? And I get all these kooky answers. Well, there's not enough time to have all the candidates on there, or I get some BS,
I went through this,
some BS reason,
and
it's
had
frustrating.
12 and some race, yeah. I'm going,
and
seriously?
I say American Idol has like 100 people. We spent a whole season to figure out who the American Idol is. We can't have an extra debate for a libertarian to be added. Anyway, it's all ridiculous comments, but now those people are starting to recognize how their brains have been manipulated. Hey, I'm not just to jump on CNN. That's too much of a good time.
And
but
Facebook.
CNN's ratings are like, you know, below the History Channel and Blue's Clues. You know, I mean, that's how low CNN is. They've lost not just market share, but the reputation. This is going around everywhere. So that, to me, Ernie, is the win. It's the the exposure of this, and it's frustrating when I feel that libertarians have been beat up, ignored, mocked, ridiculed for all these years. That you're conspiracy people, and there's nothing wrong with the elections, and the media doesn't lie, and you guys are just all of this time. people like yourself and myself have been mocked and ridiculed and ignored, and Trump is basically saying, you guys have been right. He said when he ran, you're not going to do to me what you did to Ron Paul. We covered it on this show. So that is the win for libertarians, to say we're not crazy. We've been saying this. And instead of jumping on those coattails to say yes, doesn't mean you have to agree with every policy, but this is the moment where the nation is waking up to how the system really works. And the libertarians, in my opinion, are crawling under a rock, going with their hands over their ears, going, no, I don't want to join in. And, oh, well, Trump hasn't gotten all the troops out overnight and just picking, hasn't just gotten rid of the debt crisis in the first, like, you know, he can't even unify this country. That's what he's trying to do. He's dealing with a larger issue of solidifying the culture, getting us to communicate again, getting people not fearful to even say something, to put a bumper sticker on there. The fact that the polls were wrong in 2016, and they're going to be wrong again, okay? The reason that they're wrong, and this is the biggest story, Ernie, I've talked on the show, but I cannot believe it's never talked about in a larger scope. The biggest story of this is the fact that the polls are wrong twice, and they are going to be wrong twice, just wait for tomorrow, but they are completely wrong. Why are they wrong? It's not because some egghead pushed the wrong number. They're wrong because people are lying to pollsters. People will valiantly talk about they're going to vote for Hillary or a Democrat, but they hide their view in support of Republicans or Trump. Half of you probably out there do that, especially if you're employed by someone, you're not self-employed. People are afraid to say who they're going to support. I have never, Ernie, in all of my years, and I'm not that old yet, I'm getting there, have ever encountered a time where people were afraid to say who they would support. The fact that that is going on in this country is the, I almost swore there, the damn question or the issue that is never being addressed. That is why Donald Trump's there. When people feel afraid, the Democrats claim that Donald Trump is using fear tactics. No. The fear tactics have come from them because the Democrats are not suppressing their opinion. Heck, they always got to tell you that the only constitutional right that they know about is the First Amendment. They love to use the First Amendment. So they're all over that one. But it's the other side that has been suppressed, the silent majority. And that fear is what needs to be tackled and to be exposed. That is what is what's happening now.
You know, I'm seeing their special interests are expressing their opinion with the money that they're spending on this U.S. Senate race. You know,
here in Arizona.
McSally and Sinema. Now, they're on the ballot is a Green Party. And Barry Hess, the Libertarian, has a write-in. So nobody knows, so he'll get, 50, I don't know, whatever. But the thing is, I'm wondering, it's going to be a very interesting no vote to the whole freaking thing of how many people vote for the Green Party.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're just, it's death, dying, destruction. I got, what? I'm not supporting. So this is all about Trump getting out his base. It's about how many people on your side do you get to go vote in the election for your guy, and what he said, Trump. Now, Trump has been, I can believe because he did it during his election cycle, but he knows it's pressing the flesh, man. It's going to the rallies. It's, I got, and I don't need my Trump plane. I could use it if I wanted to, but they're making me go in this Air Force One thing. Okay, So he goes around Air Force One and Obama and these guys, they had that advantage. I don't want to hear your whining crap. And he's like, Leslie Stahl from 60 Minutes, I'm president and you're not. So going around and he is doing multiple rallies a week, a day. I mean, he is everywhere.
Did you see the one last night? He ended the one last night, the Super Bowl. Sean Hannity, Judge Jeanine, Rush Limbaugh gave the introduction.
I have it up on the site. I'm right here looking at it.
It's like WrestleMania.
Rush Limbaugh.
Oh my God!
And I'm going. All right. You got to put in the effort. You can't phone it in. Well, Trump now. The biggest concern from the left is that Trump owns the Republican Party now.
From the third letter of Captain Mark. The Crown's observation conditions us to be dishonest with ourselves. Therefore, constant surveillance produces a society of constant deception. Honest communication is the seed of civilized conduct. To deny us this seed is to deny us its fruits. But the Crown's primary objective is to stifle free thought itself, to make its subjects incapable of dissent. Seasoned pirates have always encrypted messages and codes and ciphers, so intercepted transmissions were incomprehensible. But today, the Crown possesses advanced tools of pattern recognition that document, profile, and predict our every move. Today, piracy requires hailing frequencies completely invisible to the Crown. We are tired of poltergeists in the static. Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels, or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at PiratesWithoutBorders.com.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Is this the Trump version?
It is. We do it.
We started that?
Yeah, we might as well. Trump. Yeah. You know, this is, as soon as we heard this, you know, we went and looked, and sure as hell, man, there was a Trump version, yeah. You know. The, in the break, we were yakking it here, and Keith can get in on this one. You know, he's done flirting with the women. But the what I want to have discussed is the reason I'm so anti, you know, expectation is that the biggest impact, you know, advocacy for freedom has ever had is and pissed off the media and the left and the right and everybody, the damn freaking libertarians. We're making them talk about the important issues that we know are. It's going to be economy. It's freedom, you know, to choose. It's freedom to be left alone. Freedom, 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 freedom is the answer. What's the question? By doing that, all of a sudden, they're going, hey, we're going to have to talk about this. And they promise it. But they never, ever have delivered. Less war, we get more war. Less spending, we get more spending. Less debt, we get more debt. You know, I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. How possibly could I lie to myself and to you, the audience, and say, yeah, but if, you know, this time it matters. And the first, I had the signs that we put up everywhere in the valley when they, in the early 90s, when they, that's how I know Charles Goyette. That was the first time on his show was this campaign. Vote, this time it matters. I got the stickers for it that we have. We had big signs. We silk screen. We put them on telephone poles. Vote, this time it matters. Because you could register yourself and you could go whatever party you wanted. Instead of a deputy registrar from the Republicans or Democrats, guess what they were doing. So I'm just going, this is, but ever since then, every step of this process, it has been a lie. So I'm going, all right, so why do I get involved and do politics? It's philosophy. I'm not doing politics. I'm doing philosophy. And if you have some foundational understanding of what the issues are and how they should manifest, we had in the first hour overcharged why we're paying so much in health care and so on from Cato. He's a, you know, a professor from University of Texas, blah, 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 blah. And I'm going, look, that just are you even advocating the freedom of the individual to be able to spend their money, blah, blah, blah. So we have that discussion. That's why I do this. The foundation of how you even make these decisions or what you demand that the politicians even talk about. Are they going to tell you the truth? Hell no. In 03, when I have Lou Rockwell, I go, how do you know what to believe or not? He goes, look, if a politician says it, I always believe that they're lying and I'm more right than I'm wrong. Well, just out of average.
Yeah, but the thing is, this is why. And look, I'm not going to sit there and defend politicians per se, but off the air is a couple points. The first was I was saying that you know, there's a line, I think, between a politician who is lying, and I know there's a, how often does that not happen, maybe, versus a politician that's trying to represent such a diverse base. And that goes back again to this issue of diversity and not having a unified culture. You know, I keep going back to someone, remember, you guys know, I went to school in Japan. The Japanese are like monolithic. I mean, they yeah. all think in one way. There is diversity amongst them, but nothing like here. And most cultures are like that. Now, of course, the globalist agenda is splitting them all up, and that's why there's this rush around the world that we've talked about in earlier shows, going back to nationalism, and Trump is kind of like George Washington
Washington on the end of the boat crossing the Delaware with the rest of the world and the EU watching. But the thing is, the culture is what unifies. And we're not even communicating at all. We're not speaking the same language, the same humor, the same music, the same news. We are so completely spread apart that we're creating our own different cultures. And therefore, how does a politician in any way, imagine you've got a good intention. And you
freedom should be the culture.
Yeah, but how does someone in a representative republic, unless you just get rid of that, which I know is probably what you want, but if you have a representative republic, how do you represent people that are not even following the same religion, the language, the culture? Nothing. And that
is
why.
Their freedom to follow what they want.
And so therefore, if a politician says, like a libertarian says, I'm going to get abolish the Fed, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and do the wish list for the libertarian, or the wish list of a far leftist, or the wish list of a neocon, or a Green Party. If you get the wish list, the point is you'll never win because every other group was so diverse. So therefore, it forces politicians to have to, you know, pick stuff either in the middle or swing or come out and lie for many of
in
them.
In any marketing, you fill a need or you create a need to fill. The need is freedom. I mean, that's, you know, fill the need, freedom, peace out. Or you create a need. Well, a little less freedom and we need more equality of outcome of blah, blah, blah. This is where Jordan Peterson comes in. He goes, yeah, you want equality of opportunity under the law and kind of, you know, I don't have a problem with that. But equality of outcome, not only is it not possible, it gets downright ugly. And that's what we're dealing with. Everybody wants this equality of outcome thing, which is impossible. And it's detrimental to everything. So the idea that freedom's the answer, what's the question, is, you know, being lost on with this kind of thinking, exactly what you're talking about, is where the Libertarian Party is going and why they'll be, you know, roadkill, you know, in the dustbin of history.
Well, the thing is, I think, not to be too flippant with this point, but where I think you are fatally flawed with that part of freedom's the answer, what's the question, which, God knows, I probably tattooed it on my behind if you want to take a look, Tarzan. But that is something.
And here we go.
Don't tempt me with a good time.
So,
joking,
I think what you're fatally flawed in, to use that term, that it's a great documentary, by the way, is that you're making the assumption that freedom is important in the culture. What happens when the culture loses the importance of freedom?
Exactly the point that Ron Paul made in 08.
And that's the issue.
He goes, if we lose the heritage and the understanding of these definitions, you know, we are nearing the edge of, and then we were all bolstered by, yeah, there's a big giant freedom component out here, and a lot of it is not even wanting to be the majority. They're just technologically freeing themselves, bite me, and I don't care what you do. We're out. No, you got to be in. We need you. You're the most productive people. We got to go and raid Galt's Gulch and make everybody work for us. That's what's going on. They're going, you know, all the Galt's Gulch people just kind of, you know, and I'm out. I'm over here. I'm, you know, getting on. Keith's got his Hillary shirt. Seriously. So, you know, I'm going, move over, boys.
Ernie, you're like in the advanced class when it comes to freedom, right? And most of this audience. You're sitting back going, well, you know, can I have my own solar panels and then be able to give my electricity to my neighbors?
No.
And can I collect my own rainwater into my own little thing? And I mean, all of this. And for us, it's so beyond offensive that these concepts aren't even being argued with people or even thought about. And that's part of the culture. But you got to keep in mind, you're already, as you say, skipped to the end. That's where you are with all these options.
No, because I know that's going to be the issues in the future.
I know.
Not a doubt in my mind.
It's getting there. But the thing is, the average American doesn't feel free putting a goddamn bumper sticker on their car. It's the issue of just being able to feel safe in how they believe, how they think. And when the average American doesn't even feel that, when they feel under attack by the news that's coming into their house, by their friends and family, where everyone's sequestered and the silent majority is getting more silent, although now they're not, thanks to Donald Trump.
Well, but Kanye West says, you can't make me think whatever I would think, but so, I don't like Trump now because he doesn't want the invasion.
So the culture freedom, you're seeing it a much larger issue with cryptocurrency and this and that. The average American's just trying to figure out, am I allowed
to
say something?
Which is why we are here trying to share with them a different perspective. You know, I like having these discussions because it always, I'm always the long run guy. Oh, Ernie, you're just so, I can't believe you're so and you're so. And I go, yeah, I'll wait 3 months. And you'll go, okay, damn it, you know. So now this is what's going to happen. Midterm election, here we go today. We're going to have a party tonight, and it's kind of popcorn thrown at TVs. All right. Well, we got TV. You know, now we got in the dining room there for because Donna, whatever. Then we got in the living room. We're going to take one out of the back bedroom. We're going to put it outside. We're going to be TV'd up, man. We have at least, you know, two, three different network. What they say about
because
whatever.
Ernie just doesn't care.
Don't care. It's all about the entertainment, man. You know, I'm just like, yeah, let's see what happens. You know, and I just like, you know, we have fun, friends, and a lot of the guys come don't vote anyway. I mean, you know, so it's just, you know, grins and giggles. Hey, Donna, should we give our ballots to Frank to fill out and
sure,
go? Yeah, we go vote them, kind of whatever.
Not in the fireplace.
Yeah, we go. There it is, right there. You know, all right, we're gonna go.
I'm taking vote donations here, as far as just the paper.
So, Keith.
No money.
You know, tell me. I mean, do you feel comfortable? You go, yeah, here's my ballot. Frank, just whatever.
Absolutely. I did put one vote for no on 305 from a dude friend of mine. I took a snapshot picture of it. but Frank's got the rest.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, even Peter Schiff.
So, if I use my ballot that's yours, you know, did I vote? I just need to know.
It's like something. The tree fall in the woods, no one's there to hear it. So even, by the way, even Peter Schiff made a video saying, this time you need to vote. And this is someone, of all people,
Frank
who
needs
knows
to vote for me.
Who all, yeah, Peter Schiff sent me his ballot too, I think. But anyway, we'll talk about that afterwards. Do we have another guest or no?
No, man, it's all you.
Oh,
you
no,
me?
It's not me. It's all Tarzan and Trump.
And now, live. From the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, unafeared, but we are relatively concerned. Here on Declare Your Independence, I'm Ernest Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms of the Nest, which means phoenix.com. All right, we're waiting on Frank. He's late again. He's here. He's here and he's late. But he had, you know, he's got, you know, some Phantom Menace song here we'll be using coming in with later. It's kind of almost like, you know, Eyes Wide Shut kind of thing, too. And just, all right, here's the question. You know, we'll get into midterms and some of the races and what we're doing, what's going on here in Arizona and all the press. And there are definitely some Ernest Hancock interviewed cinema, blah, 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 you know, a whole bunch of that. Everybody wants to talk to me about and kind of, I'm going, nope. You guys do whatever. You're not going to do the truth anyway. So we'll go ahead, and I'll wait till after this lecture, starting tomorrow. I'll be, all right, what did everybody say about and who won and lost and who they're going to blame for whatever, and it's just lies. So I'm like, you know, I don't get all nutted up about it. We just report and make it part of the permanent record that goes into Freedom's Phoenix forever and always and IPFS servers that ain't never going away. Here we have, when they do the research, just like CNN did from 03, they're going to have from 18 and everything else that we've done, what we got to say about that and the interviews with and what this guy said. Who do you trust? It's all about credibility. Into the future, it's just la, 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 la. And you look at a voting record. You look at what they accomplished. You look at vetoes. You look at what they signed into law. You look at who they appoint. You look, and looky-see, and there it is. So what do I do now? You know, Frank, we've been doing the Trump report for, God, 3.5-plus years.
And we both survived.
I'm sorry?
We've both survived.
Yeah. We're having fun. Okay, now this is one thing, though. Yeah. You know, I can't support. I mean, even have my Ernie voted. I went down and did write-ins, but I don't remember the one thing that the county recorder was telling Barry. Mm-hmm. He goes, yeah, we think you might have made it, but the people that wrote in your name, they didn't connect the arrow and the tail of the arrow. You got to like do that to say that there's a write-in for them to check. You could write it in, but if you don't do that arrow thing, they don't count it. And I go, I don't know if I did or not. Yeah, you know, that nobody said that. Nobody emphasized that. I don't care.
Well, forget about the voting part for a minute.
No, my point is that in the primary, I did go and vote to put libertarian write-ins to get them on the ballot. Right. Now, what if I voted after that? Yeah, maybe I don't care. But the thing is that, you know, and again, they screwed me. You know, so I'm just, well, you know, I screwed myself or whatever. So now the question is do I, you know, give you my sample ballot sitting right here, and I let Frank vote it for me? You know, Keith is. All right, Keith, what's your rationale for letting Frank do this?
Why not? I've got dancing to do, bro. I have no time to.
He was going to throw in the fireplace, but it's still too warm around here, so I guess that's why.
Okay, so I'm like, you know, audience, I just don't care. And, you know, but I don't want to support the beast that's devouring me, but do I use my vote? Now, if I sell it, you know, that'd be illegal. I think I should be illegal.
I put mine on YouTube a long time ago.
Yeah, I'm going. Did you offer it for sale? Didn't you do a dollar remember. Thing or something?
I can't remember what I said, but I said somehow I winked on the video. I think I did say it, but I had my wink.
Yeah. I'm going. You know, so I'm just I can't. Do, but maybe it's just for goodwill. You know, because you know I have a lot of friends and family and so on. One of the spouses, yeah, whatever. Here, you just take vote and I'll send it in and kind of don't care. You know, so my thing is that I'm. Still, just my name gets associated with participating in the freaking process. You voted. No, I didn't. I just give me a story to tell. I go, no, I gave it to Frank. I went and did for Frank. Whatever you want, Frank. You know, mark it up, Frank.
It's my early Christmas present. That's what.
One thing I can't do, you know, it's like for U.S. Senate, you have McSally the Republican, gag me with a forklift. You have Kyrsten Sinema, gag me with a bigger forklift. You know, you have the Green Party and write-in Libertarian. So I go, God, if I give it to you, you're just going to vote for McSally and mine.
Neocon.
You know, yeah. And he goes, yeah.
She's a war hero, though.
And he goes,
Bonger.
He goes. But if you change one of these, if you don't let me vote the whole thing, then Ernie voted. You voted.
That's what I was getting.
So that is my dilemma right here, is that in my name, you get to do whatever and hold it. Do I really go, I just freaking don't care? Or do I care a little bit?
Say, I didn't vote for McSally because, for Ernie.
I'm just
Man, you're losing more hair over that, Ernie.
I know. Easier for me just to go screw it, man. You know, I ain't going to waste my time to go
down
there.
This is historic. You got to admit.
Oh my
Ernie,
God,
Ernie, come on. You forget. Look,
this is the most important election of your life.
Said that. I have never said that. And I mean, if you knew me long enough, I used to vomit every time Sean Hannity. He was the king at that. This election is the most important of any election. God, it was disgusting. I've heard this for 20, 30 years. I never voted Republican. This one is different. You have to admit that. You have to see. This is not about policy. This is about the unity of the country sort of coming out together. People have never voted in decades or voted at all. People who are hermits, people all coming out of the woodwork saying, this is the moment, the civic duty that Americans, who people have kept out of the system, are standing up one time and saying, this. It's like the adult comes back to the room and says, okay, kids, you're all running around, Republican and Democrat, red and blue kids sitting there fighting and throwing things. And it's gotten so out of hand that now the adults who are too busy with this crap to deal with it are coming in saying, children, now the adults are here. We're going to have to kind of spank you a little bit and put you into a new direction and kind of get some sanity. That's what's happening right now.
I see this about, if you look, you know, back from history and if you're a decade two in the future and you look back at this, it was a repudiation of the media, of the controls, of telling you what you're supposed to do, what is acceptable behavior, what's politically correct, what is, you know, down your throat. And if nothing else, this election was just a repudiation of F you. I don't give a crap what your manipulation, BS and bullshit. But the answer is not, you know, freedom. They weren't given that option. It's trust in Trump. And I'm going, You know, if that's how you get chancellors and dictators and crap.
Ernie, that is where I think, and I'm hoping maybe going to the Trump rally, I don't know if it made that point worse or less, but I am telling you, Ernie, I've never felt that. I've never felt people blindly following Trump as a person. He's not. I don't sense
I felt it was anti-establishment, anti-press,
anti-all of that.
They didn't know. They were not. They were superficial, and they didn't know, but that was kind of the point that I was, you know, kind of expecting to get confirmed, is that the bullhorn, you know, and social media from the left yelling at you and the right, they were just to trigger each other and create engagement and make them more advertising money. That's all this thing was about. And I'm just going, and most of these people didn't go that deep. They didn't care. And they go, they're all trusting Trump. They just say, I don't care. So I'm going,
I don't I don't think you're giving people enough credit with that. Just because they're not as articulate, perhaps, does not mean
they
that
knew that the extreme on the left and the right did not represent their centrist kind of can't we
Fine.
Just get along view.
Yeah, but superficiality is of course the poison or the danger for fascism. When it's the cult of celebrity, where it's just I like who this guy is, whatever they say is good enough for me. I don't sense that from any Trump people.
No.
And you didn't see that.
It
either.
Was representative. Of not them.
Fine.
It
but
was
that's
definitely
not,
a not
that's
them.
That's different
thing.
Than basically Trump's my idol, whatever he says. That's
he
a recipe
who hates
for fascists.
The parties hate him. The media hates him. The elite hate him.
It's what he represents.
Hilleberg
it's
hates
not,
him.
It's not Trump as the person, it's what he represents. Yeah. That's the difference, Ernie.
From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
Love what we do? Please help support our international satellite channels at patreon.lrn.fm. That's patreon.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, it's the battle! The Phantom Menace, Star Wars Episode 1! Oh, the score of, good and evil and Sith and lords of, who's the Sith Lord?
The Duel of the Fates, that's what we have today. And the question is, who is the Phantom Menace? Who would you say, Ernie? The globalist?
Him! No! We got the Trump cutout, man. This guy, great. You know, we kind of got the bottom third done so he doesn't stand tall. It's too high to see, but we got the Trump cutout, life-size, that, you know, we had out, and it was around the corner. Tim brought it over. Every time I ran around the corner, I'd see him going, God, man, freaking put that thing up. So it's been up in the closet or something. We'll break this out for tonight. That'll be fun. You know, we'll have a good time. You know, it's kind of deal. Trump. Yeah, whatever. You know, the big thing is do I let Frank, you know, vote for me today? I mean, I'm still torn with it. I'm just like, I can't.
Tormenting you.
But I mean, if you do it, and I just don't care, man, just do it. Whatever, man. But then I physically, because I don't have the early balloting, I physically got to go down and actually do it. And I'm just like, you know, really, do I gotta? You know, somebody make me. You gonna make me? Will you bribe me?
I'm gonna make Ernie do something like that.
Set this over there,
yeah,
please.
Bribe you? Yeah, well. Oh, poor Trump, he's falling down here. Oh,
yeah,
there he is.
He sit right by
you. He sit right next to me.
There you go. Yeah, okay.
I get my Trump fix here. So anyway, so we have, speaking of voting, Peter Schiff, and I thought it was fascinating. He wound up releasing a video just the other day. He's been doing a lot of videos, of course, with the economy doing what it's been doing, some convulsions. But he made a video, and he said ultimately, I think his wife made him do it. Because, let's still go in there. His wife made him do it because I think his wife is a conservative and said, you know, Peter, you bash the president about, you know, doing the wrong things with the economy, just like Ernie will, you know, similar things about, Trump has not pulled the troops out yet, isn't on XYZ. And I think his wife and him had a fight like many couples are having right now, especially if they don't agree on politics, and said, look, you know, you have an obligation at least to let people know that, yes, yeah, he's not perfect, but that this election is, as I've been arguing as well, is beyond simply the policy issues. We all have our own policy issues that we wish were done better or Trump would do better. God, for a lot in this audience, the fact he's going after medicinal marijuana is a problem. He's instructed Jeff Sessions, for instance, to try to stop a lot of these states legalizing marijuana. That is not clearly a libertarian or a viewpoint. And he's going to lose a lot of votes perhaps on that. And so I could take the task to him on that, raising the debt ceiling, or even more stupidly, trying to get rid of the debt ceiling altogether, like he argued. I mean, some of this is insanity.
Yeah,
that stuff we will debate later, because we all have our own issues.
Later.
But this is not, this election is not about that. It's about the fabric of this country.
Well, Facebook and Google.
So anyway,
and the media.
So the fact that Peter Schiff, of all people, if there's one person who's a libertarian-minded individual who understands how damaged this country is economically, how doomed we are, it's Peter Schiff, and you've got Donald Trump sitting there raising the debt ceiling. So do you think in any way Peter Schiff would go and say and support this guy? He is. And this is what he's got like a 20-minute video, but here's like a minute or two excerpt. Let me try and put this on.
All right.
All right, give me a second.
Appreciated that. But of course, one of the things that they had against me early on is I admitted that I hadn't voted in a while. And they thought that was a really bad thing.
When he ran for office.
I actually started to vote, and I started to think, you know, if you want to look at it as a civic responsibility, I mean, you could try to make a protest and say, I don't want to legitimize it. But ultimately, at the end of the day, if you're not voting at all, and then you're complaining, people can say, well, you know, you did nothing personally to try.
Yeah, I did. I didn't vote.
The path that we're on. And so even though voting may end up being a waste of time, at least if you waste your time to make the vote, people can't accuse you of being part of the problem because you didn't vote. So you can try to vote even though you're more likely to be outnumbered by the idiots and by the takers and by the people who want something for nothing. It's unfortunate, and you know, this is the fate of all democracies, but you know, we don't have to go down without a fight. And so I think that people should vote. If you were planning on not voting, vote. This is the strategy that I advocate. So if you are living in a blue state that is overwhelmingly blue, right? If you know that the Democrat is going to win, no matter what you do, your vote is immaterial, right? Then you can vote Libertarian just to, you know, show that you don't approve of, you know, what Republicans have been doing. And you can vote for the Libertarian, because chances are there's a Libertarian on the ballot, and he's probably a good guy. I mean, anybody or gal who's going to be a Libertarian is probably philosophically much closer to my way of thinking than a Republican or a Democrat. Although sometimes there are some Libertarians who run as Republicans, which I did, because they think it's a more practical route to win the election, which is true. I mean,
Ron,
you know, the Libertarian candidate has no chance. And the Republican candidate has a chance. But if the Republican candidate is governing as a Libertarian, he's probably not going to get elected, and he's probably not going to stay in office if he is elected, unless he changes his ways, which ultimately has to happen. So if you're in a state that is overwhelmingly blue, you can vote Libertarian. The same thing if it's overwhelmingly red. If you know that you have a Republican congressman who is in a safe district, who is going to cruise in, you don't have to vote for that guy. You can vote for the Libertarian to try to send a message that you do not approve of the big deficits, the reckless government spending that is now being espoused by the Republican Party. And so you can vote Libertarian. But if you are living in a congressional district that is in play, if you're living in a state,
Arizona,
like Florida, you know, where the governorship theoretically is in play, right? Then you got to come out and you got to vote for the Republican. You know, you got to hold your nose and do it. Even if you don't think that he's the greatest candidate, chances are he's not as bad as his Democratic opponent. But the problem I have right now, again, with the Democratic Party is this political correctness, this animosity, this, you know, the nation really is a house divided. I mean, the difference now between Republicans and Democrats, even though economically it's actually not that great, everybody believes in big government, but there seems to be a real big social divide, not on the economic issues. I mean, we've already lost that argument, right? I mean, even the Republicans want no pre-existing conditions, right? They all want Social Security. They all want Medicare. You know, they all want minimum wage. That's a question of what it should be. I mean, we've already lost for now the argument of, you know, big government versus small government. The Democrats want big government. The Republicans want big government. The Democrats just want government even bigger than the Republicans. But both sides are willing to borrow tremendous amounts of money to finance that big government. But the Democrats have now gone to the socialist side, right? They've gone over to the dark side of the force. They don't just want big government. They want total government. They don't believe in individual liberty anymore. That's out the window. There is no more individual freedom.
No, Republicans are bastions of freedom.
And freedom of, you know, individuals and all sorts of rights.
All right. So you
get the idea.
Kind of mirror to what we were talking earlier, ironically.
I can't, I don't know yet. I mean, you know, I don't have an aversion. I'll go down for the entertainment and tell everybody, and Frank just did what Frank said and didn't even look, don't care. But I, the only reason would be, I don't know, whatever benefit Frank gives me. What am I going to get?
Excuse me, is this where I get a license to start a new business?
I wouldn't be hasty. You have to get a license to go out of business, too, you know.
Oh, well, look, I've invented this little anti-gravity machine, see?
Is that why you're walking 2 inches above the floor?
Oh, yes, it's very comfortable. It saves on shoe leather.
Yeah, well, you have to fill out these forms and report to the Human Services Department of Manpower Orientation and register with the Fair Employment Practice Commission, the Wage and Hour Division of the Employment Standards Administration, the State Sales and Income Tax Division, the Internal Revenue Service, and the Social Security Administration of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, and, of course, OSHA.
OSHA? I thought that was a little town in Wisconsin.
You'll find out. Say, floating around like that could be dangerous. Have you checked with the Consumer Product Safety Commission?
Well, not yet.
Come to think of it, you actually are flying, aren't you? Look, you need to go over to the Federal Aviation Administration and the Transportation...
It's very hard to get anything done these days if you're in business, but free enterprise built this country. Think what could happen if we don't keep it free. A public service of this station and the Center for the Defense of Free Enterprise, Bellevue, Washington.
Besides, we just can't have people floating about unregulated, you know.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Okay. We're trying to get this one. I was going to do video, but I guess got to do it. It's a 30-second. Is there any, you know, setup for this thing?
No, just the fact that this is an ad they're playing all the time on CNN. It's for Clear ID. And it's fascinating because they're playing this ad on CNN, MSNBC. And as you listen to it, keep in mind that in between these commercial breaks, the nonstop discussion was about the immigration and the caravan coming here, where nobody needs any papers. They should just come on in, no problem. And then after they're saying this globalist agenda of, my God, the racist conservatives, and how dare we actually have passports, and how dare we actually ask for, you know, papers and to know who these people are, then they play these advertisements. So go ahead and play. This is CNN's commercials.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm getting this since new videos, video. And this one.
I just got nauseous watching this commercial. And yes, I do watch CNN, so Ernie doesn't have to.
Dude. Yeah. All right, here we go.
He's had to get in line.
Rewind that. Just rewind.
And show his ID. And
Get it?
All right, wait, we get to back to the beginning. You always tell me, you know, it's like the intro music is coming in and then he does it.
All his life, Jimmy's had to get in line and show his ID and get in line and show his ID and get in line and show his ID just to prove he's Jimmy. That is, until Jimmy found Clear. Now he is his ID, so all Jimmy needs to speed through security at airports, stadiums, and more is Jimmy. Clear. You get you places.
It's a libertarian's wet dream, I know, but it's just the concept that they're promoting on the same station about, you know, the fact that look how wonderful it is that that Google and the rest of them have all this information. Now we can use your fingerprint, and all we can do is biometrically link you to the system in the matrix. We know who you are because your whole life you got to show your ID and stand in line, show your ID, and as if it's your civic duty. And then they go to the damn news section and they say, oh my God, all the these people are coming here. They're undocumented workers. And look how wonderful it is. And how dare we the concept we ask for their identification. I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone. I mean, I don't think the liberals even hear themselves. They can't even look in the mirror. I don't even know what they see when they look in a mirror.
Well, you know, where are we going with this? It is a, you know, you got to be on the list, have a list, and, you know, Trump list and security of the list. Because we've got lists, biometric list. See you later, Tarzan.
See you tonight.
Asta. Thanks for coming in.
I want two more Bitcoin things, machines, today if we can.
Yeah,
maybe,
okay.
Maybe Thursday then.
All right.
Hey, Tarzan.
Did you get it running? Is it up? Yeah, we're going to do it. Okay, let's
do
it.
Today if we want.
Yeah, well, whatever. I got them running now because, the you know, Bitcoin Cash is going up.
If you got two sitting in the garage, that's wrong.
Well, no, they're already shipped. I got, you know, we'll get them. You know, I got plenty in there. Yeah, Keith has.
Keith, just want to tell you. Let's make America great again.
It was great before.
it's been going downhill. Keith has solar. He doesn't pay. He has electric car, solar hybrid of solar. And so he's like, you know, it's getting warm. I mean, it's getting cold.
Right.
So he's like, I got plenty of solar. How many miners can I run on? He's like, you know, figured out the math. He's like, I can do two more. So I gave him, all right, let's do it. You know, I just got, because that's one thing you have, like, supporters that, you know, don't pay anything for electricity and they get free heat. And they're like, okay, Ernie, well, here, you can have them go to the, you know, paper wallet of them. I'm like, okay, anybody else want to do that? Yeah, we can do it. Bitcoin Cash is taking a jump because I think it's Thursday. There's a another hard fork, you know, that Bitcoin Cash is doing for something. Because I've been screaming about this pirate communications and, you know, and decentralized, yada, 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 and we're working on that. That is the voting chain. You want to spend some time and money on this kind of stuff? That's where the chain, and that's the point that I'm making. Mm-hmm. I'm going, it's just, you know, but what will they try and do? They don't want to take away your freedom to be able to say none your business. And that's where I want to see where Trump. Oh, no, we got to be able to surveil everybody and get their, you know, their clear ID of we know where Jimmy is, you know, his fingerprint of Jimmy. And I'm just here it comes. I'm like, I'm not feeling better about this, man. You know, you go, yeah, well, the left, you know, they're going, oh, we can't have a show. We just should be able to show up all our illegal immigrants and be able to vote and doing kind of why you get. Well, no, we're for rule of law as if the whole freaking thing wasn't a psyop to get you to be able to do biometric ID, mark of the beast if I got my chip. And this is exactly what they've always been, you know, warning us about, you know, the individual liberty, freedom, you know, Christ didn't make, you know, the Roman legion be his brother's keeper kind of deal is witness, parable, testimony, voluntary persuasion. And this and the warning was when the king wants to, you know, put the mark of the beast on you, you cannot buy or sell unless that's when the problems start. Well, that's exactly what this is, in my personal opinion.
Well, it is, and it's dangerously close. I mean, as Dr. Paul, you know, correctly said, you know, a wall can keep people in as well as keep people out. And that's the part that maybe we assume that the average American does not see, or maybe not. You know, I get conflicted about how much I do trust at the end of the day, the American people. You know, on one hand, you can sit back and say, God, the people are the average voter, a bunch of idiots, and they're you know, uneducated and blah, blah, blah. But then again, you run the risk of being arrogant yourself to assume such. On the other hand, and there's plenty of historical, you know, anecdotal or real evidence to show that when push comes to shove, the American people, and hopefully maybe undermined by the American culture that's bequeathed that the American people stand up when need be and make a difference properly. It's almost like you get enough people in a room, you know, one person may not make the best decision, but you get enough people, in theory, you tend to get better decisions. Now, you know, that is highly controversial, but I could see it, and I have seen it from both sides. I do think that that's the moment we have right now. When you deal with this wall, keep in mind, Ernie, there's two things.
Where did you see this clear thing?
I told you, man, I was watching CNN.
God.
I know, I do. See, I mean, you should be paying me for that. So the thing is that there's two areas that I think...
Give you my vote.
Two areas that you jump on, understandably, but I think that you don't give enough credit to the people watching. One is, we already discussed, that when people are on this Trump train, the assumption is Donald Trump is the message itself, that it's all about Trump, not his message, and that by Trump getting in, it means, oh, look, the system works. And since Trump got in, we could all go back to sleep now, and everything that you've been hammering on about how fatally flawed the system is somehow turns into vaporware. And I don't think that's the case. I don't think the average voter who's supporting Trump believes that and is letting their hair down and going back to sleep. They're not. If anything, they're more awoken, like what Ron Paul did for people. That's the first, I think, misconception that I think you have with the average voter supporting him, at least. The second is with regard to the wall. When people talk about the wall, I bristle at that idea. I don't want an ugly wall, not to mention any physical barrier that limits my freedom and liberty.
Stupid.
We can do that all day. But what I think is missed is that the average Trump supporter, at least, I don't want to speak for every in person out there, but most people that I know who are supporting the wall, it's not about, I've said this for a couple of years, it's not necessarily a physical wall. Whether it's a wall.
Oh, it is a lot,
no,
people.
No, no, what, no. No,
60
no,
feet
no.
tall.
Well, that was a great talking point. Remember, the guy ticked him off because, yeah. What was it, Mexico? He goes, oh, the wall just got 10 feet higher. But the thing is, it's not about the physical wall. What people are referring, wall is just it's a catch-all for dealing with our border and being able to decide who comes in or not. It's the fact of whether it's a door in your front door, whether you have a lock, whether whatever you
I
have
know,
on your front
but it's
door.
Another it's government power that will be abused. They let, you know, who lets in all these terrorists? It's the State Department. It's the CIA. It's part of the FBI of who we need some bad guys to be against, and they get in the program of a Pentagon versus CIA and the Al-Qaeda, and the Taliban. It's always some... All the people that they're supposed to keep out are the ones they're letting in. Intentionally, to do some BS. It's like, all the good guys can't... It's so bastarded up. If it was what they promised, that you go by a merit-based... you have some skills, or you got a sponsor, you got a job, you got family members. I don't have a problem with legal immigration, you know, but the proper role of government is defend me against crap, and
what
they
do
don't.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
It's the same old story, same old song and dance.
Same old story, same old song and dance. You know, Frank just, you know, freaking man, it's
this
constant.
Too funny watching
just
this.
Just, oh, bleh. Come on. You know, blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Trump's just the same. Same old, same old.
Same.
Yeah, that's
same,
why
same,
it's 24-7, right?
This, you know, it's not that he's breakdown. So much the, yeah, he's pretty much the same. It's the people. You know, I've always had way more faith in just the aggregate, just individuals, you know, people just going, yeah, you know, it eventually it works out. That's why they have, this is one concern I've always had over the years. I'm not worried about people. you know, sooner or later, you know, the free market and wallet voting and them just kind of the preference of the general opinion of that this sucks and that doesn't work and whatever. They have to manipulate us. You have to change your opinion by with all this manipulation they've been doing on social media and search engines and so on. And that's becoming obvious. The other thing is I go, yeah, but we'll get through that. You know, you go, oh, my God, we got to have a law to pass. I go, no, you don't. You know, people know it's just BS. They get alternatives and problem solved, and they want a law to maintain their monopoly. That's what they want. So they're going all about, you know, how, you know, the internet's going to be used and, you know, so you can't abuse it. And we got a program of, you know, whatever the hell. I go, nope, don't do a damn thing. It'll fix itself. The problem is when they try to physically change us through drugs, chemicals, water, air, vaccines, something kind of, you know, microwave of fry of do kind of brain photon changing mesh cyborg and plug into something. When they are able to physically change you so that you default to a different kind of opinion, you become a hive mind. You become, you know, a little bit more, just a tweet, just a teeny weeny bit. Little electromagnetic whatever thing in the Samsung TV of, you know, Hillary does a commercial and you go, ooh, I got a semi. She is kind of hot. You know, I kind of, you know, something's wrong. Okay. So I'm going, that is what I'm afraid of. And all of this IDing and specifying and marketing down to the individual to manipulate is part of that. But we'll grow past that. We'll become aware of that. It'll go through phases. But when they physically actually change us through chemistry or brain manipulation through light or electromagnetic or whatever the hell they do, which they're working on. We got stories out coming out out our butt here. You know that just today you look on, we have some stories up, videos about them. They've been planning this since the 40s or even earlier. If they could, they would. Well, they can and they are. So that's what I'm afraid of.
Aaron, the thing is, and we've chatted before about it, is that majority of human beings are followers. They're not leaders. The majority of people, I think, are lazy compared to something else. And at the end of the day,
just leave me alone.
Yeah, but they're not going to leave you alone because if they're followers they're lazy, they want to take from you to keep up their support. I mean, what do you think the whole welfare state is about? We can go all day about all the ways that they take from those that are pulling the cart so they can stay in the cart. And the thing is, you might want your independence and stay away and leave you alone, but as that bat on the wall, Negan's bat, which, by the way, we got two Walking Dead references in the same day. I wonder why. But I mean, as I gave that to you, as the whole point is that you can stay to yourself, but the gaggle masses, those that want to take from you, following usually a sociopath, and they're still out there until eugenics takes care of that. And that's all another loaded topic. But until that time, Negan will come to your door with his whole gaggle of followers and take what you have. And so, therefore, at the end of the day, I'd rather fight it at the ballot box, as much as you hate to sit there and vote. I'd rather fight at the ballot box every few years rather than with guns or something else, because you're probably going to lose that battle when the masses come to take your stuff. As much as the government still does that, they come and take our stuff, but at least there's a way, hopefully, a way to express that and try to guide that ship. Nothing's perfect with it. Government never is. And I hate to use that old cliche, necessary evil, but that's kind of the nature of the beast. I think we have a pretty good system for what it is. It's just that it's been corrupted beyond what it already, you know, what the loopholes were originally has been corrupted and distorted into this grotesque version of a so-called democracy, or which it's not, a representative republic, which is not even working. And that's what this Trump movement is. It's the representative republic showing or saying, do we even have any representation? I mean, if we don't have a true democracy, which is wallet voting and what you're looking for, which I think there's definitely a place for it until you turn into, what is it, the dark mirror or black mirror, where all of a sudden
everybody's, you know, a social ranking.
You're social ranking like they're doing China right now. By the way, the Next News Network, they're doing it right now. Next News Network had a little clip on it just the other day. Someone took a little video phone image of riding the train in China, and basically in English, not Chinese, in English, it comes out and says, if you do anything wrong on the train, then we're going to hit you and you're going to get fined and it's going to affect your
social
score.
They can see if you don't pick up after your dog, they take your dog.
Oh, they take your
yeah, no, they're watching. They said, who's leaving this dog
but
poop
they
everywhere?
They actually say over...
Boom! You, give us your dog. We're hungry.
They're going to eat it. But, I mean, they actually say on the train that your social score status, whatever your ranking, will be affected. I mean, they're threatening you with that, of course, in a nice little Chinese female voice. But that's what they're doing.
See, I don't have a problem with people doing that on their own train with their own thing or their own ranking or their own. But to have it by law. And it kind of affected as if you don't have equal protection under the law for being human. No, you have different rankings. And they started this. This is what the cinema thing was about in 03. When they arrested, or they prisoner of war or whatever the hell, the Lind guy that went and fought for the Taliban, they go, we don't know what to do with them. So they created a new ranking of enemy combatant, which they thought that they stripped you of your U.S. citizenship. Somehow you were like a different human being or something. You didn't have the same, you know, human rights, which is what our Constitution respected. All individuals are equal under law, not whether you got a card or something. That's a fundamental thing in this country. Well, and the whole concept of freedom. Well, what happened was now they're going to go, not only can you be an enemy combatant, you got that, you know, stripping of this, you can be anywhere in between. You're a citizen with a score of this. It's like a FICA score for your credit ranking. And your ranking gives you, you know, how you're seen by the law. Do you have, it's like hate speech. You did something, a racial thing, as a hate crime. You know, when you did something and they got this add-on. You got a little bit of add-on. You get more time. You get less benefits. You get, this is social and economic engineering, man, to the nth degree, and you're going to have Trump supporters screaming for this stuff for whatever benefit they get of illegal immigrants not being able to vote or something. They're begging for it. I'm sitting here watching them beg for it. And I'm going, wow, do you guys even see what's going on? That's how they suck you in, man.
No, assume that you go all the way, and that's the question.
Oh, they're going all
the
way.
Will Americans be able to pull back and recognize it? And I think the awakening of the silent majority is showing that maybe people aren't as stupid or gullible as we thought. If anything, the real issue is they've been silent for so long because they have been suppressed through shaming and through the overt lies of the media and the polls saying that all of your neighbors think differently than you, and the louder people getting into positions of power as far as human resources at companies and CEOs and whatever. Actually, maybe not the CEOs, but CEOs have learned to be quiet and say, look, as long as we can keep this profit going, I'll let the loud people who are all telling me how I'm supposed to run this company and have mandatory sexual harassment training classes and all of this kind of stuff and awareness training and white privilege training and all of this crap that they've been pushing down everyone's throats. I think Americans are finally waking up and realizing the emperor wears no clothes, that they have the voice. They've had the voice this whole time, but it's been a charade, this lie that they are the minority. That is the awakening here. Now, what we do or what Trump does or what the people decide to do with this reawakening that, you know, the old standard American core values are still in existence. Once we come to that realization, and that's what tomorrow or today is about. That's what this is. I will be with you. If Donald Trump does any kind of it or more idiotic crap going on, I get it. But he can't deal with it until we get a cabinet and we're able to communicate openly. And whether you like his opinions or not, like Bernie Sanders, I can't bring him up at the very end. Donald Trump, Bernie Sanders, Ron Paul, it's authenticity. You may not like what he says, but you know he means what he says. Even Democrat liberals agree
real quick.
That Donald Trump says what he means.
Mueller investigation, how it's going to be presented and what's going to be said, going to be determined on the results of the midterm election, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, so that is going to be, they're going to go for impeachment. They're not going for impeachment. How much they can get away? They didn't think he was going to win last time, so they're holding their powder dry on this one. They want to know what's happening.
Have no powder.
If he gets, do you think he's going to get control of the House?
Yes.
Do you think he's going to get control of the Senate?
Yes.
Okay, do you think it matters?
Yes.
All right.
Vote. Just one time. Guys, libertarians. Vote.
Free Talk Live.
Good evening, Mark Gideon.
All right. You got to go when you got to go?
I can stay a little bit.
Okay. This is trauma for me, man. Seriously.
I know, I can see.
You know, I'm just like,
I'm proud of you that you're even, you know, even entertaining it a bit, because you do see this. I respect where you're coming from.
No, my
Ernie.
Drama is
I
not
really
whether
do.
I vote or not. I ain't voting.
I know.
It's whether
voting.
I give it to you to
I
vote.
I know, but just but
as a even, solid for
even
Frank.
An extension of it. I know. It's
I don't let Frank. I just sell
Ernie's
my.
Ernie's getting the shakes.
Keith didn't
like
have
shakes.
A problem. Keith is like, here. He wanted to do some proposition of what. See, the thing is that I know that. Just like with a lot of other voters out there, I think they want to do what they perceive to be in their, you know, not just their own self-interest, what they think is the self-interest of, you know, the planet and so on. I that's where my faith in people, I just think they're ignorant. They're just not informed, and they're easily BS'd. And you're right. You know, you go, most people are just followers. You know, I tell you, I have resisted that thought for ever. You know, I'm just like, nah, people pretty much want to make their own decision. They may want to, you know, delegate some decision stuff. I ain't got time for that. I got, you know, hell, I got to work. I decide what I do for, you know, when I get up in the morning for whatever reason. Well, you got to go to work. And I go, because I feel it benefits me in some way to be on time, you know, other people other than Dr. Frank. But I just, you know, this is, you know, I don't think it's as prevalent as people think. That they abdicate their decision to make their own decisions. I don't think that's as true as people would make it. It's just so time-consuming, confusing, and they just don't care. And because America used to be way more literate, way more involved, way more reading, way more understanding of the issues, way, 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 way more. But the institutions have gotten so complicated and the interests so convoluted and the representatives so corrupt that it's just, they just know that it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Well, I'm here to validate it doesn't matter, okay? It's going to be, your vote is much more impactful where you spend your money, where you spend your time, how you educate your children, the food that you eat, the exercise you do or don't do. You know, it's all these other things that in aggregate have way more impact than voting. Voting is just a manifestation of opinion. Well, they bastard your opinion. You know, it's just all kinds of just gobbledygook and crap. This election is, because I don't trust the system either. The mechanism by which they do it, I just don't trust it. So giving my, I want to do you a solid, you know, and just, you know, get something. I why should I do it? I don't understand, you know, my benefit of me, you know, going and voting. I really don't.
I'll let you wear my Trump hat.
God. Yeah. I don't think they'll let me in with that one.
You know, that, by the way, it's interesting. It's a quick aside, but Pennsylvania, I've been talking to my friends from PA. A lot of them all voted. And, you know, that they said many of their friends are now, you know, kind of Trump people. Maybe they weren't before. They're kind of coming more out of the closet. Bucks County in Pennsylvania is one of those races that many people are watching nationwide. I won't get too much into that. But it's funny. In Pennsylvania, you're allowed to have people with brochures and flyers up to the door that you go to vote. And that was a very odd thing here in Arizona where you have to be like 200 feet or something. You can't wear any flyers. I mean, you can't have any. You can't
75 feet limit.
75 feet.
No electioneering.
Nothing there, right? Nothing. You can't wear a T-shirt. You can't wear a red hat. You can't do anything. Whereas in Pennsylvania, it's like running the gauntlet. You get out of your car, you're trying to get to the door.
Yeah, I remember when they had Black Lives Matter, bunch of big black guys standing in front of intimidating of kind of, and they're going, oh, that's not good. You know, and they're just having a big black guy standing there.
Black Panther.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, how, you know, does that go over either way? And I it's all the stuff that doesn't freaking matter to me. You know, the thing is if I could do what, you know, Keith did, he just signed it and gave you an early bat, maybe I'd do that, but I don't, I got to go. I got to go down there.
I'll go with you. I'll go with you.
Right now?
Yeah, we go off the air. I'll go with you. How's that? I'll hold your hand in case you get
nothing.
In case you get the shakes.
I'm gonna go. I wonder if you know, they probably won't let you go. No. I'll go. I need help. You know, can I have? I think you can do that.
Yeah,
I think you can do that. I'm gonna have you go and vote for me.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll do it. That's fine.
Look, Frank used my ballot. And, you know, that there go, you know, what kind of criticism would I get from everybody and law breaking and all kinds of crap, you know? I'm voting.
I'm just letting him.
Yeah, he's just helping me.
I'm just helping.
Because I can't. I just can't. I can't. I'm disabled.
Dead fish.
I'm philosophically disabled, so I can't do it. Because the thing is that if Frank's willing to go down there with me to do it.
And I'm also willing to wear the sticker, too, afterwards. I'll wear it for you.
Please. You know, what we did in the 90s, I'm going, these I voted stickers, we find out that it's the Board of Realtors that supply them. They give them, that's not a government there, it didn't used to be. It was supplied by, you know, borderrealtors.com, whatever the hell it was back then. And they are the ones that gave it to them. And I'm going, well, we'll give it to them. Can't we design the logo ourselves, or we'll come up with some kind of, you know, maybe a little libertarian, little Statue of Liberty thing or something? I go, we'll do it. We want it. How do we get in on that deal? You know, we'll print them up. We'll get the sticker. We'll do it. Nope. You got to go, so that's a little scam too. You know, there's a scam everywhere. It is the most scammy scam of scam. Those I voted stickers, there might be a little logo. There's a, you know, courtesy of or some BS like that. It's advertisement. They get to do it. How come we don't get to do it? How come I don't get to do it? I want to do it.
You know, this is kind of a side thing, but I find it interesting that of the Republican and Democrats, I'm not trying to support the Republicans in this deal here, but why is it that whenever you deal with rules or laws to help solidify, to make sure that we know who's voting, it's always Democrats that always have a problem with it. You know, it's not like Democrats don't like certain things, Republicans don't like certain things. It's just, you know, Republicans or, you know, I guess probably libertarians don't even count in this, but Republicans simply want accountability, that we know who's voting, one person, one vote, end of story. It's real simple. It's the Democrats that keep saying, but this group of people isn't smart enough to figure that out, which I think ultimately is racist and sexist itself. The fact that they have all these excuses why their voters can't seem to, if you pass this restriction to make sure that you have a proper ID, well, now you are keeping people, it's voter suppression of groups
biometric,
of people.
Begging
which
for
ultimately
it.
Is, I think, most the most condescending, but it's interesting how they it's always on the left that they have problems with rules, regulations about who's coming into the country. Don't worry about it. Who cares? It doesn't matter about proving that you have any ID going to vote, except if it's clear ID. Then, of course, they stick it on their CNN for their ad.
No, I'm just I'm
unbelievable.
I tell you how unbelievable it is. It's just like CNN throwing Kyrsten Sinema under the bus. Military-industrial complex.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so obvious. I'm going, I go to the CNN guy, Andrew, the K-File guy. I'm going, you understand what this is going to do, right? You just lost. If you lose, it's going to be because of this. Why are you doing it? That's the story. You know, is it, you know, well, they were trying to convince me. They go, well, she was progressive, anti-war, kind of secret, and she's kind of being this, you know, moderate, and she's not really. She's really this. So they're, like, outing her for being really a progressive. I go, what, you don't really want secret progressive politics? Is that you? Is that CNN? Is there some publisher, editor, producer that's, you know, getting or at least allowing? Well, then another guy goes, oh, no, CNN, they're just doing a job, and, you know, they just put it up. I go, somebody's their boss. Somebody reviewed this. Somebody put this up. Somebody understood. There's something else going on, and you guys aren't reporting on it. So I'll just wait after the election. And whatever happens, I'll go, Sinema's going to lose, if she does. I mean, I don't know. I don't care. So if she loses, I'll be going, it was CNN.
Yeah.
It's going to be that close.
And
it's
Ernie Hancock.
No, it was CNN. You know? I'm playing.
No,
I don't care.
Your interview is, you know, I think it's a stupid issue. I mean, they've
it's
completely,
stupid.
They lied
totally
about
misrepresented
it.
Everything.
It was absolutely.
It was just the most beat, and I knew it. That's why I did that show on the 8th. I go, look, let me tell you what's coming. They can, you know, drag me back in again. I mean, you know, it's just, and they use it for just bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, bullshit. And the only show that I've done is I go, if I, you know, I wanted it live. I go, I ain't talking to anybody unless it's live. And I interview. I mean, I record the interview if I do it by phone. So the only ones that I agreed to even talk to, one guy, a local Politico guy here has a blog, whatever. And it was obvious he was kind of for cinema. I could just tell. So I took that and I posted it right after he was interviewed. He was recording. He knew I was recording. And I'm just putting this. I don't think he wrote anything. It was just all bullshit. He just wanted to get that little, that sound clip. Mm-hmm. Ernie said, yeah, it wasn't, So I just put the whole thing up. I hate these guys. It's just all politicizing everything. And of course, he was an attorney, and he, that kind of crap. And then my old board op from back in the day in like 04, his name was Kaja. He was a young black guy that was at Phoenix College studying political science or something. So he just progressive as hell. He just couldn't stand it, So I let him, hey, man, say your say. He's rolling his eyes back there. Let's do it. Well, he's now station manager of a progressive radio station. So they wanted me to come down. I go, for you, I'll do. Now, of course, they were, hired guns of cinema and the progressive, crowd. So I went in. I explained it off air, on air. I told them everything, and I get the file. So I got it. Whatever the hell they do or use in the later, I got the file. Put it in my hard drive. I got it sitting right there. Go ahead, lie. These guys is not about what they, of course, they're going to BS and bullshit the whole thing. I expect it, but I use it to show that's what they do. So I knew from the beginning, I told CNN, I go, look, go ahead. I got the, now CNN did a good job. They were pretty in the context of whatever, their article was pretty good, but they still selected that 4 or 5 minute clip that did this, Taliban bullshit, knowing what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
They selected that. There was a bunch of other stuff in there, but they selected that. Why? Military-industrial complex. You go high enough up on the left or right. I saw it with Move On and Camp Casey and Cindy Sheehan and W. Bush and Pelosi and all this other stuff. Pelosi 06 gets elected, comes in, biggest expanse of the Iraq war, $60 billion, $600 billion, whatever billions of dollars. They just more and more and more and more. It's all bullshit. This whole thing is just bullshit. And they try and suck you back in. So I'm not doing it, but I'll let Frank vote for me. I think so. I will go down and I just say, I didn't do it. I didn't even pick. I don't care. I don't, Frank. Frank's blame. Whatever happens, it's going to be Frank. God forbid it be one vote. I can show it's Frank.
Yeah, it's Frank. One vote. Frank. It's one vote. Frank. This entire audience will know it was you.
All right, so you guys got to wait for me to do the edit and everything. It's got extra time. I got to run down and hurry up. I got a bunch of stuff I got to do this afternoon. So right now, I'm going to, I already got my tie on and then my underwear. I guess I got to put pants on. So I'll go ahead and, put on some real pants and then go do, get my shoot. And we'll just go right now. And you're driving. I ain't spending a damn ounce of gasoline on doing this. So you drive and we'll go in and I'll play stupid and I'll start drooling a little bit and say I need somebody to help me. I'm a knuckle dragon, whatever. And I go, I need, he's my friend. He got pet. He helped me out.
I'm not sure who's running. What's Congress? What's the Senate?
I need a Trump voter to help me vote. Trump. Oh, yeah, I got a red shirt on.
There you go. Oh, I don't know if it's allowed. Yeah.
It's got a red shirt. Here, look at my red shirt. I got a red shirt on. I wonder who's he got. I thought of that. When I got dressed this morning, I have, dress shirts in my closet. Well, a lot of them have ties on because I wear it for like a few hours and I can probably get two wearings out of it before it starts. I smell myself. But, so I go like this. I go, all right, there's the blue one. But I had already wore that a couple times recently. But it has the tie on it. It's easier for me to just throw it on, tie, boom, I'm done. So I go, there's the red one. And I haven't wore it for a while because it didn't have the tie on it, So I had to go find a tie. All right. I'll wear red for Frank. Well, it's really for me because it was clean. So I just do that again. Red shirt. RedShirtTheElection.com.
As long as it's not Star Trek. Yeah.
We still have those. The red shirt, the election thing that started here, that was the whole thing. Frank and I got the deal and, Roger Stone was pushing it and everything. He came on and stuff. I'm in the middle of, damn it. But I'm voting. Because it's illegal for me to have somebody vote for me, but I can have somebody, help me a lot, okay? He's going to help me a lot. All right, man. Peace, guys. Vote, don't vote. I don't care.
I so don't care.
I don't care enough to let Frank help me, okay? See you tomorrow. We'll talk all about it. Oh, yeah, and tonight is the election party, and we're going to have some fun. So tomorrow will be fun. You going to come in tomorrow?
Yeah.
You can't not come in tonight. Yeah. I'm that libertarian.